You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, is written for you. Believe in His promises, God can.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I have found that there is a ton of information on from attorneys, from all kinds of people that are mandating and wanting to force the vaccine, now even on children, 5 years old to 11. And so you may be in this room and maybe you've had the vaccine. My message is not about whether you've had it or you haven't, whether you should or you shouldn't. But I'm going to address the fact that in this nation, you should have freedom to choose. You should not be mandated and forced to make a decision that's against your conscience. And so we have in our nation freedom. We still have freedom. If you have missed it, our freedom is being choked by demonic spirits, destructive spirits. And it may not have stepped on your toes yet, so maybe you haven't felt it. But we have a tremendous attack against this nation. And it's a direct attack against the body of Christ, because the body of Christ and the church is the true conscience that God has used to maintain integrity and strength in the foundation of this land. I know there were some that were involved in the establishment of our nation that were not godly, but many were, most were, and even those who were not, most of them were God-fearing. And we thank God for these foundations that we have. As I was looking at what's taking place, I took note of the fact that we now have, if you missed this, we now have the first all-Muslim council elected to a U.S. city. I don't know how much you know about Sharia law and the Quran, but some of you are more familiar than maybe others. I'm not going to be speaking about them specifically this morning. But I will say this. The ministry of the Quran, the message of the Quran, is in direct opposition to the love and the message of the Word of God. And it is a message that in essence says to either change the infidel or kill the infidel. That's the way to peace. And so we now have the first all-Muslim council elected to a U.S. city in our nation. And this to me is just another sign of the day in which we're living, where we have actually allowed through the influx of people to increase the numbers of a particular mindset or religion or voting bloc so that the future can be changed for the people who live in that area. This is actually happening in our nation. It's happening, I believe, in part with illegal immigration. The Word of God is very clear, and we as Christians are hospitable to people from other nations. Many of us, our families, immigrated here as well. And the Word of God is filled with a message to Israel that they were to remember that they too were aliens. And so we as Christians are going to love everybody, whether they're legal or illegal, because Jesus loves them and wants them to be saved. But as far as our nation, we're a nation of laws. And many times the arguments will become personal instead of judicial. And it will focus on a child, or it will focus on a family, instead of addressing the fact that it is a rebellious act against the lawful order that is established in our nation. And so if our laws are not respected, and if the laws of the land are put under our feet, then every man becomes a law unto themselves, and we end up with chaos and anarchy instead of what I believe God ordained for us to be, is a nation under God that recognizes, and many of our early fathers had this position, without the Word of God, that's not the Quran, it's not the Satanic Bible, it's not the Mormon's Bible, and I don't mind saying it, there are a lot of cults in our land, but it was not based upon that, but it was based upon the Word of God that we have today. And it was based upon God the Father, God the Son, who is Jesus Christ. And there was an understanding of our fathers that this nation and the laws by which it was ordained were guided by a foundation of biblical truth. We call it Judeo-Christian foundations for our nation. And so we've lost a lot of that, but we are still here. God is not finished with our families, with His church, and He's not finished with us. And so we need to have some kind of a response. As I looked at some of the things that were pressing, I realized that often the enemy has prepared better. I'm talking about Satan often has prepared better than we in the church, and has pre-arranged, has pre-ordered, has done the research, and many times we get caught off guard and are not ready to give a defense. I was reading again in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 21, and I want to go there for just a moment, Luke chapter 21. And I want to remind you of what the Word of God says is to be a part of the culture in the last days. First of all, verse 8 says, don't let anyone mislead you. There's going to be a lot of deception. And when the Word of God says that there's going to be a lot of deception, people who are deceived, most often, the very word itself, means that someone, by trickery, by demonic influence, distortion, is able to convince another person against what is actually the truth. So the Word of God says, don't let anyone mislead you. This is not going to be a news flash from the news media, but the news department cannot be trusted. There is an agenda, and the agenda is most often an anti-Christ agenda. So first of all, be alert, be awake, and do your homework. Do your homework. Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming to be the Messiah and saying the time has come, but don't believe them. And when you hear of wars, insurrections, don't panic. Fear not, right? No fear. Do not panic. Yes, these things must come, but the end will not follow immediately. Then he added, nations and kingdoms will proclaim war against each other. There will be earthquakes, there will be famines, epidemics in many lands. And we hear these, we read these. But I want you to be aware of the fact that we are now in these days, I believe. There will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs in the heavens. All the blood moons and a lot of signs, there's going to be a lot more. But before all of this occurs, there will be a time of great persecution. We have been blessed in this nation. I thank God for this nation. I thank God that I've been raised in this nation. I thank God that we live in the state of Florida and we have the leadership that we have in our state. I thank God for the freedoms that we've had. But the Word of God tells us clearly that there will be a time of great persecution. You will be speaking to His disciples and to the Jewish believers and to those who would believe. You will be dragged into synagogues. Synagogues. That happened to Jesus, didn't it? Don't be shocked at the World Council of Churches and the demonic spirits and strongholds that actually rule and reign in many denominational structures. They will oppose God as the spirit of Antichrist opposed Jesus Christ. You'll be dragged into synagogues and prisons. You will be accused before kings and governors of being my followers. You'll be accused. This will be your opportunity. It's not a time to be fearful. It's a time to look at the opportunity. Say opportunity.
Opportunity.
We have opportunities now that we've never had. This will be your opportunity to tell them about me. So don't worry about how to answer the charges against you, for I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply, even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, and friends will betray you. Say, that could never happen in my family. If they don't know Jesus, it could happen in your family. Some of you will be killed, and everyone will hate you. Everyone is who? Everyone who is not a part of the kingdom of God. The day is not just coming, it is upon us. Everyone will hate you because of your allegiance to me. But not a hair of your head will perish, because God has them all numbered. Hallelujah. By standing firm, you will win your soul. Win your soul. Over the last several weeks, I've been aware of the fact that one of our elders, his family, has been put in a position of being forced out of the marketplace because of their choice to not receive the vaccine. This isn't something that all of our companies just decided to do, even unrighteous companies. This is the result of mandates that are coming from Washington. The swamp creatures have returned to the swamp. This is a mandate that is being pushed upon businesses. $14,000 up to $130,000 penalties per person. A company has 100 or more employees. Now this, you may think, well, this doesn't affect me because I'm retired. Or this doesn't affect me because I'm in a smaller company. Or this doesn't affect me because no one is saying anything to me. It's not an issue. But let me just remind you of this. If it's being said to one of us in the body of Christ, it's being said to all of us. That is like saying, if you're a married individual or you have children, if the doctor comes to you and says, well, your child has a serious, incurable cancer, and for you to turn away and say, well, that has nothing to do with me, you would say, that's insane, Pastor. None of us would say something like that. So I would ask you the question, why would you never say something like that? And you would say, because it's my child. So I would ask you this morning, if only one Christian in our nation was being bullied by legislation that has not been properly established, if one Christian is being bullied, is that not your brother or sister? And if they are, when will that same demon come to attack you personally and your family? If we don't stand for the freedom that God has blessed this nation with, then who is going to stand for it? So as I realized that one of our elders, that their family would be faced with without a job because of this mandate. And so that meant that you can either apply for a medical exemption or you can apply for a religious exemption. And since I'm a man of God and you're people of God, we're going to be talking about the religious exemption. Because there's tons of information for every business to fight you and your religious exemption. There is almost nothing but silence from the church and church leadership in regards to the religious exemption. And so I have in my hand the paperwork. There's already been a religious exemption applied for. It's well written. It's well done. It was researched carefully. It was put together. And I knew that was going to take place. And it's taken them weeks to investigate this. And this is why. And I have in my hand another application because another one of our families is facing this. And I was really strongly moved by the Lord to look into this and to bring together the research over several weeks and months. And this is the thing about the religious exemption. It has to be your personal conviction. You can't take someone else's and put your name on it. It has to be your personal conviction. I was thinking about Columbine. I was thinking about that girl when the gun is put in her face. The question was not, how do other Christian young people feel about their faith in God? The question was directly to her whether or not she would renounce her faith in God. And so, yes, there are ways to answer some of these things. But it really comes down to having some personal convictions based upon God's Word. And a personal conviction means that you are willing to live or die because it's God's Word. Otherwise, it's just an opinion. I believe many Christians live with opinions rather than biblical foundations and convictions. So I've had many people say to me when they heard a story of maybe some of the gatherings that took place in other nations where, you know, the military steps through the door and they are there with their weapons. And they said, all of you who will renounce your faith in Jesus Christ, come with us and you will be free. The rest of you remain seated, you're all going to be shot. And I've had people tell me, I don't know if I could face that. Well, I'll tell you how you face the devil in that day. You face him in that day by facing him in this day. You may say, I don't know that I have enough faith to walk on water. But do you have enough faith to get out of bed and seek first the kingdom of God today? Do you have enough faith to receive the Word of God, receive correction, to give edification to someone else? Do you have enough faith to seek first the kingdom of God today? If you do, then today is the day wherein your faith is being developed. And so as I did research on this and I began to study and I began to look at what a lot of people had written, I began to understand that a lot of people were addressing things that are not even going to answer the questions. Because if you come and you say, okay, I'm a whatever denomination you want to say. I don't want to pick on any denomination. You say any denomination. And this is what our denomination believes. And it's not a religious exemption. Because you're not saying that's what I believe. You can quote them. You can put the verbiage in. You can add anything you want to add, but that is what somebody else is saying. Really, this comes down to the question that Jesus raised to his disciples at Caesarea Philippi. He said, who do men say that I am? They said, oh, a prophet, this, that, you know. Maybe John risen from the dead. They're talking about what everybody else is saying. But then Jesus makes it very personal, and he says, who do you say that I am? As I looked at this application, and I'm so glad it was delivered to me because then I had actually something in my hand to look at. And I began to look at the questions. And the more I read from the attorneys who were saying, this is how you can trap anyone who's seeking to have a religious exemption. So they are well prepared. There are many attorneys that are working in that arena to make sure that many Christians who apply would not be qualified with religious exemption. Because they ask a lot of questions. They ask, well, have you ever had a vaccination before? Do you, will you, will in the future, what are you going to do? Have you had a tetanus shot? Are you going to take this shot? Are you going to take that shot? What are you going to do in the future? And so there is a lot of personal, direct questions that are being brought to the table. A request for a religious exemption must be about your personal religious position with God. It must come from conviction. The law does not require that you're a member of an organized religion. Because the way the law is written, if you have a strong religious belief, you should be protected. So you don't have to be a member to actually apply. I'm saying this because some of you in this room are going to be facing this if you haven't already, or your neighbor is, or somebody down the street's going to be facing it. And we need to come up with an understanding from the Word of God, not from the television. We need to come up with an understanding from the Word of God how we're going to stand and where we're going to stand. And if the house of God does not address it, now that's what our elder that's a part of our leadership said. He couldn't find any of the leaders from the evangelical organizations who stepped out, or he found very little, I don't know if he even found one, who would stand up and say, I am in direct opposition to a mandate that tells me I have to put something in my body. That, now, if you have peace to do it, that's between you and God. Amen. But if you do not have peace to do it, you should have freedom to say no. No. So, you have to use your own words. You are allowed to have a personal translation of the Word of God. So you can say, this is what I understand the Scripture to say. To me, this is my belief. In this, on this Scripture, this is where I stand. Now, how many of you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about decreeing and declaring? And there's tons of books, there's tons of articles, tons of messages, tons of prophets, tons of things that are being said about decreeing and declaring. And I believe that's all fine and good as long as you can say, for it is written. I can decree and declare anything I want to, and it may be God, may not be godly, it may not be. I think a lot of stuff that's gone on in the church has been a bunch of monkey business instead of God's business. And I say that because I've noticed that many times, many leaders have said, God said, God said, God said, God said, and then when it doesn't happen, they say nothing. You know what they used to do with prophets like that? They stoned them. And so we should not recklessly or lightly say, God said. We should understand. Now you can say, this is my understanding of what the Word of God says, and I believe this based upon this Scripture, and this is my understanding. It's important how you say what you say. We speak life or death with our words. Have you ever heard two attorneys arguing? They can argue all day over one word, over the context of one thing. Why are they doing that? Because that's what they get paid to do, to question the other individual. And listen, church, the church is being questioned today in regards to our faith. The world wants to know the decisions you make and the life that you live, the decisions you make and the life that you live is based upon what criteria?
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life.